Hello, friends, and welcome, B-Siders, to the extra content for Psalm 22. And what a chapter. If the Bible is holy ground, then Psalm 22 is like the Holy of Holies. Shoes off. And God's design here is fascinating. The Gospels have the story of the crucifixion, but only here can you read it from Jesus' own perspective. And the detail that David chooses to share is riveting. The pierced hands and feet in verse 16, the casting of lots for his clothes in verse 18. And there's far more detail than that, much of it quite astounding, and all a millennium in advance. Keep that in mind as you read. 1,000 years before the crucifixion, 500 years before such a thing was even practiced. Even the liberal scholars still set the writing no later than 500 BC. We have this psalm in the Dead Sea Scrolls. Yet David describes the crucifixion, the mockery of onlookers in verse 7, all his bones out of joint in verse 14, and his heart turned to wax. So precise to the physical experience of crucifixion, the heart literally fights to pump blood through the veins until it gives out. The dehydration of verse 15 all fits the cross. Now, I have to admit, I don't like delving deep into the gruesome details of Jesus' death. I don't do well with graphic violence in general, and this one is real, and it's Jesus, my friend, my Lord, closer than a brother. It is powerful to remember what he endured for us and that he considers you worth suffering for. And we are reminded that this is how our sin was atoned for. The price is paid in full, no more payment necessary or allowed. But gruesome details, I'm just not wired to dwell there. Yet there is one small detail so amazing, I just had to give it a B-side. Here in Psalm 22, it's the worm. Read verse 6 with me. But I am a worm and not a man. Now, as far as David is concerned, I imagine that he wrote that sentence quite simply to express how he felt in the vision. Experiencing the cross with Jesus, he felt like a nothing. He felt like the lowest creature he could think of. As he saw the crucifixion through Jesus' eyes, the scorn and derision, the mocking of onlookers, he felt like a worm. Now, the purpose of reading Psalm 22 is not to geek out on multi-layered Bible connections. That's why I save this for the B-side. Reading Psalm 22 should be a powerful and personal experience. Reading what he endured, we remember that he is worthy and he is worth it, whatever our cross may be today. And I hope you had that experience when you read it. But now, check this out. David wrote the word worm to express his feeling, but the word he chose is not a generic worm. If you consult a Bible dictionary, you'll see the Hebrew word is tola, a very specific type of worm, or grub, really. In Hebrew, the full name is tola atshani, and the Bible sometimes says tola and others shani to refer to the same little bug. Also in the Bible dictionary, you'll see that the word tola comes up 43 times in Scripture and shani 42 times, but most of the time, they're both translated as the color scarlet or crimson. Why on earth is the word for worm the same as the word for scarlet? And that question opens up a rather fascinating can of worms. And yes, pun very much intended. So let's dive into this little worm can. You might want some goggles. The first time tola or shani comes up is Genesis 38, with the scarlet thread tied on a baby's little hand. Why is the word for worm the same as scarlet? Then in Exodus 16, when the manna was supposed to be eaten, but some saved it overnight and it bred worms or maggots, there they are, tola. If you recall that Jesus is the true manna from heaven and that manna represents Jesus' body, the connections start to grow. The manna was eaten by tola worms. The bread of life became a thing of disgust, just as the one who knew no sin became sin for us. Here in Psalm 22, I am a worm and not a man. Then the next time the word tola shows up is the instructions for the Israelites to gather offerings for construction of the tabernacle in Exodus 25. Those materials included fabrics, blue, purple, scarlet, and fine white linen. Throughout the instructions, the word scarlet is either tola or shani, that same worm. Why is the word scarlet the same word for a worm? Because the scarlet dye used to color all the fabric came from a very specific worm, the tola, now called Coccus illicis. That's Latin. I tried translating it using Google Translate, and it means illegal cooks. Why that's interesting, I don't know. What is interesting is that it's actually a grub, a little insect, but it moves like a worm. Their color is deep red or scarlet, tola. They're native to the lands around Israel. So when the Israelites were traveling through the desert to the Promised Land, they would have made scarlet dye for the tabernacle materials using the tola. Now we're getting interesting. Recall that the tabernacle also pictures the body of Christ, the dwelling of God on earth, and tola were used to make the scarlet material. And check out this little scarlet bug. The female tola bears the young, and when she's ready to give birth, ready to give her children life, she climbs up on a small tree and attaches herself to it. She's stuck there, and she will die there, hanging from a tree. See a connection? When she dies, the shell of her body hardens, and it protects her little children still growing. She sacrifices her life to save theirs, quite literally. When she dies, a crimson fluid comes out, staining both the shell and the tree. It looks like blood, and that's the fluid used for the dye to make scarlet cloths for the tabernacle and for the high priest's garments. Both picture Jesus, and the scarlet pictures his blood. Back there on the tree, the mother sacrifices her life, but the children find new life. And to grow, they literally eat the body and blood of the one who gave them life. Gross, yes, but they're bugs. And remember that Jesus, the one who gave us life, calls us to eat his flesh and drink his blood. So the little tola atshani comes up throughout the tabernacle instructions, then shows up again in Leviticus in the cleansing of a leper, and then in Joshua when Rahab the harlot ties a scarlet thread in her window for the salvation of her household. Then in Job 25, as Job's friend Bildad wrestles with the question of how a mere man can be justified before God. How is that possible when man is like a worm, a tola? And he says, the son of man, a worm. Interesting word choice. Then tola shows up here in Psalm 22. I am a worm and not a man. But that's not the last of it. Next is Isaiah 1:18. Come now, let us settle the matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. Scarlet here is shani, and crimson is tola. Not just the color of blood, but here, the color of sin. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall become as white as snow. Now, tola is a Hebrew word, and the New Testament is in Greek, but the word scarlet does come up again. It's the color of Jesus' robe at his trial when he's being mocked. At the very place that we meet him in Psalm 22, he is robed in scarlet. I am a worm, the scarlet worm, and not a man. All of that pointing to the crucifixion, to a death on a tree. What an amazing little grub. Now there's one last part to this story. What happens to the tola on the tree? As we said, the mother dies, but her story isn't over. New life comes out after 3 days. That's right, 3 days. The little tola are stained with the crimson from the mother. But something amazing happens to the body of the dead mother. The scarlet color turns to white. It dries up like a wax substance. Look at a picture of it, and it looks almost exactly like wool. Once dry, it breaks up into little white flakes and falls to the ground like little pieces of snow. Seriously. Come now, let us settle the matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. And that is the story of the little worm called Tola Atshani. Amazing.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.